In his book, The Power of a Story, Pastor James Moore tells of a cute childhood story of another famous preacher, Dr. John Claypool. When John was a boy, he had this strange idea. He thought that he could outrun germs. Once, as a little boy, he came down with a terrible cold, and somehow he got the idea that if he could run fast enough from one room to another, like he did to outrun his puppy, that he could outrun those germs. So his mother found him one day dashing from room to room and out of breath. And when she discovered what he was trying to do, she gently and wisely called him back to reality. She explained he could not outrun his germs. No matter where or how fast he went, the germs would go with him. The sooner you quit trying to run away from sickness, she said, and start taking medicine for it, the quicker you will get well. Unquote. What a wonderful idea he had, if only it could work. But we can't outrun our challenges in life, whether our challenges are sickness, marriage problems, work problems, or the pressures of the world closing in around us. We have to stay and face the problems of life head on. We can't pretend that they don't exist or ignore them and hope they're going to go away. Every person has problems to deal with, and we all need to learn constructive ways to address our problems. Even Jesus had problems that he had to deal with. The Pharisees did not like Jesus. They made life difficult for him. Now, how could you not like a person who went around healing people that were sick, inviting people to be reconciled to God, and caring about people as they were, then helping them to transform into something more? One of my favorite scriptures, which really is kind of obscure, says that Jesus went about the cities and the villages doing good, preaching the good news to the people, and healing the sick. Jesus went everywhere that his feet would take him to share God's love with the people. And as he went, he did all that he could to help meet the needs of the people that he encountered. Still, the Pharisees did not like Jesus for several reasons. They didn't like that he was popular with the people. They were the religious leaders. They were supposed to be the ones in charge of God. And they didn't like this Jesus person coming around and developing a group of followers. They did not agree with many of Jesus' teachings because Jesus was suggesting some changes in their practice of their faith. They also believed that Jesus was blasphemous by claiming to be the Messiah. They rejected the idea that he could be the anointed one sent from God. So they were always following Jesus around, not to learn from him, but to raise objections, to criticize him and his ministry, to discredit him in the eyes of the people. They were the problems that Jesus had to face on a daily basis. So imagine if Jesus had to deal with problems in his earthly life. Surely we cannot expect, as Christians, that our lives will be problem-free. One of the frequent debates the Pharisees raised with Jesus was over the proper observance of the Sabbath day. Remember when God gave Moses those 10 commandments, one of the top 10, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's to be set apart as a day of rest and a day of worship. That was the main idea. The Pharisees had the best of intentions. They wanted to honor God. They wanted to respect and keep the Sabbath holy and set apart for worship and prayer and rest. For over 1,000 years, they had developed the rules for keeping the Sabbath day holy. They had written a large book of rules, what a person could do on the Sabbath, what a person could not do on the Sabbath. For example, if there were an emergency on the Sabbath for a person or an animal, only the action that was needed to save a life could be taken. It was considered sinful and disrespectful to God if people did not obey all of the Sabbath day rules. The idea was, if you keep the rules, then you keep the Sabbath day holy. But Jesus had a different interpretation of what it meant to observe the Sabbath and honor God. Jesus felt that just following rules, just for the rules' sake, was not what God intended when creating the Sabbath day commandment. God made the Sabbath, Jesus says, for the benefit of humanity, not to oppress people or hurt them in any way. In the book of Genesis, the creation story proclaims that God created the world in a 7-day period. God worked for 6 days or 6 time periods, and then God took a rest. And not only rested, but reflected on all that God had made. And God was pleased, and God called it very good. We human beings work in order to be able to provide for our families what is needed. We would work ourselves to death, and some of us do, without the idea that our bodies need a day of rest, relaxation, and reflection. What is the meaning of all this work? What is the purpose of our lives? Is the way that we are currently living, is it pleasing to God? Is it good for me and my family? We all needed time to recharge and refresh. We need a day set aside to commune with our Creator. Because we are made in the image of God, we are meant to be spiritual and social creatures. There's so many ways that we pause to worship God. People remind me that God can be worshipped outside of a sanctuary in a church building. And yes, this is true. However, there is also great virtue and blessing in belonging to a community of faith and worshiping God together. We gain strength and wisdom from each other. We grow in our faith by practicing our faith together and observing the spiritual ordinances such as worship, prayer, singing, fasting, fellowship, communion, and serving others together. Jesus felt it was important to do both, and he modeled both in his own life. He would be missing, and the disciples would be searching for him, and they would find him alone, praying. And then every Sabbath, it was his custom, and either other days, to go to the synagogue, read the Word of God, teach and preach, and worship God communally. So in this particular text in Mark, we see 2 instances where Jesus was brought to task over his actions and his disciples' actions on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were quick to point out to Jesus the error of his ways in keeping the Sabbath holy. From their perspective, Jesus was disrespecting God and allowing his disciples to do the same. But Jesus saw the whole situation differently. God made the Sabbath to help human beings. Human beings are most important to God. So if Jesus and his disciples were on their way traveling to do God's work, and they were away from home where they couldn't cook or prepare food, and they were hungry, in the viewpoint of Jesus, God was glad for them to be fed from the fields as they were traveling to do God's work. God cared that Jesus and the disciples be fed. and provided what they needed. In those days, it was not against the law to take wheat from a farmer's field to eat before the farmer harvested his crop. So Jesus, when the Pharisees protested, gave him an example of David, who went into the place of worship, the tabernacle, and ate the special bread that was on the altar that was only allowed to be eaten by the priest. Because David was hungry, they needed that bread to survive. And God cares most about the well-being of God's people. That was the point Jesus was making. The second complaint in this text in Mark was when Jesus healed a man whose hand was crippled on the Sabbath day. According to the Pharisees, that was not a life or death emergency, so that did not fit into the rules. Jesus knew that they were going to be mad even before he decided to heal that man. And Jesus, it says in the new RSV, was angry that they were so hard-hearted and had so little compassion for this man who needed his hand to be made whole. So Jesus told the man to come forward, and he asked the Pharisees a question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill? Notice they did not answer the question because they knew they would be condemned if they answered the question. But Jesus was grieved at their lack of compassion for a fellow human being. Jesus knew that he had the power to help that man. How could he leave that man without helping him just because it happened to be a Sabbath day? Jesus knew the heart of God. Jesus knew that God wanted that man cared for and helped. Jesus also knew that it was going to create more problems for him with the Pharisees if he did it. But he did it. He had to act with compassion because that is the nature of God. The man was healed, and the Pharisees decided that day, we are going to destroy Jesus. They began to plot with the Herodians. So what do we take away from this lesson? John Wesley, the founding father of the Methodist, had three rules. We call them today the general rules of the church, and they cannot be changed. Number one, do good. Number two, do no harm. And number three, attend to the spiritual ordinances. Worship, pray, mission, having communion, fellowshipping, studying God's word. According to the Wesley Bible Commentary, John Wesley taught, quote, that one of the works of grace is visiting the sick. And one of the practices that Wesley emphasized in his ministry is the practice of physical presence. Personal presence encourages the sick, unquote. Of course, Jesus showed how much God cared for those who were sick. For those who were suffering, Jesus did all that he could to heal them in his presence. And the Church of Christ continues to do the spiritual and physical work of healing. It's important for clergy and laity to be involved in ministry with those who are sick and suffering. The funeral that I was involved in Belchase, was for a member of the Baptist Church in Belchase Friday. But we have, just like the Joy Club, at Belchase we call it the Lunch Bunch, and it's ecumenical. So we have Baptists, Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, everybody's welcome. Well, the gentleman who died was so beloved in our Lunch Bunch ministry, and he looked forward to coming every month. I've been there 5 years. The only time he has missed has been the last 3 months because he was ill. Two of our members would go and visit him and his wife in their home to let her go and have a little break in caring for him in the last few months. They would go sit with him while she went to the grocery, went to the doctor, whatever. It was such a beautiful testimony. These Methodist ministers ministering with this Baptist family, all those labels don't matter. We are the children of God together. And it's a blessing to us when we minister with the sick. What cares the most, what God cares about the most, are people and what people need. Yes, we are to worship God on the Sabbath, on our Sunday, in the Christian church. And yes, we are to worship God privately as well. And yes, we are to be a part of compassionate, healing ministries, being with the sick. Jesus put a high priority on ministry with the sick. We also need to thank God and show our appreciation to our doctors, our nurses, the staff who dedicate their lives to helping the sick to heal. Katie Ray, who led our Confetti Players Choir, has just moved to Memphis. I saw on Facebook the moving truck arrived safely yesterday. They are now in Memphis unpacking to take a job with St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. She's going to be like a PR person for them, helping to get their message out to the world, to partner with others for more resources, to work with children and their families who are ill. God has blessed us in so many ways, and we have the opportunity to do good every single day of our lives. So let us remember what Jesus teaches, that the Sabbath was made for the well-being of God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.